If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Exodus in chapter 19. And we're back in our series in the book of Exodus, studying through the life of Moses. Oh, I forgot to ask, how do you guys like the new background here? Is that nice? Pretty cool, eh? Some of you have seen it in the kitchen and you're like, what is in our kitchen? What is happening right now? It's not a life-size game of Plinko, okay? It's a stage design, and our youth actually helped put it together, so let's give a round of applause for our youth. We said, come to youth early, we'll give you pizza and a paintbrush, and they showed up. And we're here in Exodus, chapter 19. We've been in and out of this series over the last couple years, studying through the life of Moses. And last week we were in chapter 18. We looked at Jethro and Moses and the interaction that they had together. And we talked about bragging on Jesus. How many of you bragged on Jesus this week? We talked about just everywhere that we go. Come on, we want to have a reputation as a people of Niagara Worship Center that everywhere we go, we brag on Jesus. And we are the kind of people who are just constantly shouting our testimonies and talking about what God's doing in our lives and in our families and in our church and in our community. And excited to continue this morning in chapter 19. I want to start by reminding you that every corner of this book is about Jesus. Every corner, every book, every chapter, every page, every sliver that you might read in a morning devotional, you could read one of those Our Daily Bread devotionals with a whole, you know, paragraph of writing, and there's just one Bible verse. That one verse is about Jesus. It points us to him. So turn to the person next to you and say, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Every time you pick up your Bible and read your Bible, I want you to pray and ask the Lord to help you see Jesus. When you're in the book of Psalms, when you're in the book of Revelation, when you're in the book of Leviticus, how many of you need extra help seeing Jesus in the book of Leviticus? You say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see something about you in here. Exodus chapter 19 is a beautiful reminder of Jesus. And it's not just about Jesus, it's about his gospel. It's about the good news that he came to proclaim. It's about the good news that he has commissioned us as his church to proclaim until he returns again. And I have the privilege this morning of preaching to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard of the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to John. The title of my message this morning is The Gospel According to Exodus 19. And I wrote it in my Bible as my title above 19, The Gospel According to Exodus 19. So we're going to read through all 25 verses, and they're not going to be up on the screen. So you can either follow along in your Bible or just listen to my voice. Here we go. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai. They encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up the mountain. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came down and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and also believe you forever. When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. If you haven't seen Jesus by now, you just saw him. That sound familiar? Be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or to touch the edge of it. For whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man, and he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down. A lot of up and down in this passage. Go down and warn the people lest they break through to the Lord and look and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. A little bit of a game of ping pong here. Back and forth or up and down, right? Moses goes up the mountain to talk to the Lord, gives him instructions. Moses goes down the mountain, speaks to the people. He goes back up the mountain to tell the Lord what the people said. The Lord says, go back down and consecrate them. Then he comes back up and says, you got to remind them to go back down and remind them not to come to the mountain. Up, down, up, down, up, down. I don't know about you, but if I were Moses, I would have asked the Lord for everything at one time. Can we just be a little bit more efficient here, Jesus, and give me everything right now? I started preparing for this message many times. This happens every once in a while, where instead of having one message, I've got the first 15% of 7 messages. So this will be fun. Every time I'd get to a certain point, I would, no, I got to start again. And I'd go back to the drawing board and go back up to the mountain, back down the mountain, back up the mountain, back down the mountain to see what the Lord would have me to say today. And I originally thought that I'd be walking through chapters 19 and 20 because chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. It's finally once Moses gets to the top of the mountain for the final time and he hears from the Lord, he gets the Ten Commandments and he comes back down. But I'm just going to stay in chapter 19 this morning. And what chapter 19 is a season of preparation for what is to come in chapter 20. Chapter 19 is a season of preparing for the word of the Lord, the commandments of God, the instructions from God, is this season of preparation. And I believe that we as a people right now are in a season of preparation, that we are waiting not for the law of the Lord and not for specifically a word from the Lord, but we are waiting for the return of the Lord. So here's the beauty of the book of Exodus, and here's why I love studying the Old Testament. It's because the Old Testament is not only fascinating in and of itself. Okay, we can just study through Exodus and we could be amazed at what God did in history. We can be encouraged by what happened thousands of years ago. That's one aspect. Then there's another aspect that points to Jesus and his first coming, that Israel was in a season of preparing for the coming of the Messiah. And then there's a third application in Old Testament scripture, and that is for the church today. That just as Israel was in a season of preparing to hear this word from the Lord, the Ten Commandments, just as the people of Israel were awaiting the Messiah, we as the church are awaiting the return of Jesus to this earth. And so there's three different places of application. And you see it all over the place. If you were listening, be watching for the third day. Be ready for the third day. What's the third day a picture of? Resurrection of Jesus. There's a reference to the trumpet. How many of you heard the trumpet? Not literally trumpet, but you heard me when I said the word trumpet, right? Did you know that there's another trumpet coming at the end? I've said this before, I'll say it again. Do you know when the last trumpet is? I know when it is, I'll tell you. So really help you. Right after the second last trumpet. So now you know when the Lord's coming back. You're welcome. So what I don't have for you is what I usually have is a 4,000-word, 20-page manuscript written out every Sunday. What I have for you this morning is some chicken scratch on my iPad here. And so I'm just going to walk through. This might not be as smooth as normal. So if you don't like the message, come back next week. It'll be better, I promise. And if you love it, then this is the best thing that's ever happened. And there you go. Okay. Exodus chapter 19. I just kind of want to walk through and make some observations here as I was studying this week. Here's what the Lord tells Moses to do in order to prepare God's people. Verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. Again, a season of preparation for something that is to come. I believe today we are in a season of preparation. I cannot promise to you that it's only 2 days, today and tomorrow. That's what Israel had in Exodus chapter 19. But we right now are in a moment of time where we should be continually and consistently consecrating ourselves in preparation for the return of the Lord. Somebody say amen. What the season that we are in right now is not about get good grades, get a good job, Make a good salary with pension and benefits so that you can retire at 65 and enjoy retirement. That is the sales tactic of the world, and it is a distraction. How many of you know sometimes your house is a distraction? Your job is a distraction. Now, I'm not saying burn the house and quit the job. I'm just saying sometimes we get into this daily routine of thinking that our life is about eat breakfast, get ready, go to work, get the kids to school. We get stuck in this routine. And here's the beauty of the Word of God. Here's the beauty of church is we get to come into this place and be reminded. Here's what I'm going to remind you of today. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And everything that we're doing right now is about preparing ourselves for his return. Go to the people and consecrate them. Set them apart. How were they to consecrate themselves? They were to go and wash themselves. Okay, this is a purification ceremony. And this is today, Jewish practice is a mikvah. And so if you are Jewish and you're going to have a Jewish wedding ceremony, then before the ceremony, you experience the bride has a mikvah, which is a bathing ceremony of cleaning herself before she meets the groom. Come on, somebody shout somebody. It is a cleansing to prepare for the union with the husband. It's a beautiful picture of our lives today. And so the people were supposed to go, and here's the blatant truth, go take a bath. Here's what the preparation was. Go shower. Why? Because some of us stink. And if you don't stink now, give it 24 hours, and I promise you, you will. And so go and wash yourself, and I love this, and let them wash their garments. Here's what I believe. God not only wants us to be clean, he wants the very fabric that touches our body to be clean before him. God has a high call on holiness. He has a desire for us to long to be clean, not just our bodies, but our clothes. I know I can't bring my shoes to heaven, but I want them to if they could. I want to be clean before the Lord. I want to be pure before him. Tell them to consecrate themselves and be ready for the third day, for on the third day, the Lord will come down on the mountain in the sight of the people. And then we get all this warnings about setting limits around the mountain. He says, set limits around the mountain, okay? Picture big pylons. I don't know what they used. Something bright. Set a limit for the people so that they do not come to the edge of the mountain or touch the edge of it. And whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. And they are not going to die by some divine act of God's judgment. Israel is enlisted to kill the person who touches the mountain. How many of you would say that that's a high level of accountability? High level of, like, I just want you to know, if you disobey God, I love you so much, I'm going to kill you. That's accountability. And again, there's a warning here. And then later on, he tells Moses to go back down the mountain. Just in case somebody missed the memo, go back down the mountain and make sure that they come. When they come, they can come up to the mountain. They can come up to the mountain, but they cannot come up the mountain. You can come to the mountain, but you cannot come up. You can come to the mountain, but you can't touch the mountain. Because even the thing upon which the Lord rests becomes holy. When he comes upon the mountain, it says in verse 19 that smoke descends upon the mountain, envelops around the mountain. And verse 19, somewhere in the Bible, it says, verse 18, that the whole mountain trembled greatly. That when the Lord come and rests upon an object, that object comes to life. What do you think might happen if the Lord would come and rest on a people? Now, Jesus said, if people did not worship me, the rocks would cry out. Creation singing praise and worship to the Lord on high. Don't touch the mountain. Why did God say don't touch the mountain? Is God just melancholy? Is God just detail oriented? You've got to do this just right, just the way that I want you to. And if you don't do it the way that I want you to, then I'm going to punish you. No, this was a loving father protecting his people, protecting his children. Because an unholy people cannot touch a holy God. He says, you're going to die. You need to stop the people from coming and touching that which is holy because I love you. I love you. Here's our reality. Here's the gospel truth. All of us in this room one day will die. I hope that's not news to anybody. We will all die. Here's how we can respond to the gospel. Here's what the gospel says. You can either choose to die now by placing your faith in Christ and dying to your sin and dying to your selfish ways, or you can die later. All of us will die. You can either die to yourself and your sin now, or you can die and then be separated from Jesus for all of eternity. You can either come to Christ by faith now and be judged through the blood of Jesus and pardoned by his grace, welcomed into the family of God, destined for eternity in his presence. Or you can come to Christ when he returns on another mountain. You know, he's coming back on another mountain. This is the parallel. The Lord is going to return and we will come before the Lord, just like Moses and the Israelites in Exodus chapter 19. We will come before the Lord, and based upon whether or not we have already died, that will determine whether we will have to die at that point. We will be judged by Christ, not based upon how well we've done in chapter 20, obeying the Ten Commandments, but based upon whether or not we've been consecrated to the Lord. Here's the work of God that I want to remind us of today. It is the Lord who consecrates his people. It is the Lord who consecrates his people. And here, this warning to come with a sense of taking this seriously, I believe coming before the mountain, we need to be reminded of this thing called the fear of the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Here's what that means. You cannot even begin to claim you have wisdom in any area of your life if you do not fear God. Like, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's where it starts. If you do not approach God with an understanding of who he is, you do not have wisdom in this life. Now, most people see fear through a different lens. And it's because we experience fear in an unhealthy way most of the time. We fear others because we are uncertain of what they will do. People are unstable. How many of you have met an unstable person? How many of you are one? You don't have to raise your hand. We're not consistent, right? One day we're happy, the next day we're stressed, the next day we're frustrated, one day we say that we change our minds. And so we fear people because we are afraid. What will they do? I don't know what they will do. If I tell them this, I don't know how they'll respond because they're not consistent. Here's the good thing about God. He's consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we do not approach God with fear as in we're afraid of God because we don't know what he's going to do. We approach him with a reverential honor that he is God. He is holy. He is mighty. And I need him to make me holy. I cannot approach him based upon what I've done. I can only approach him based on what he's done for me. And so all through Exodus chapter 19, we have these types and shadows pointing us to Jesus, pointing us to his first coming, pointing us to his second coming, to his return. And all throughout scripture, we hear about these types and shadows. I'll give you a few examples. Romans 5:14 refers to Adam as a type of the one who was to come, Jesus. Adam was a type of Jesus. He was a picture of a firstborn of all humanity who fell because of sin. Here's Jesus, the first and only begotten Son of God, who came and lived a holy life. 10:11 talks about Old Testament times and stories and experiences being a foreshadowing and an example for us today. It says, to them, they were examples for us and written down for our instruction. So we can read Exodus 19 about the people being told, don't go and touch the mountain. And what is that? That's a warning for us that we are not to just casually approach Almighty God. We are to come, yes, knowing he loves us. Yes, knowing that we're his children. But we are to come with a humble heart that acknowledges who he is. Colossians 2:17 refers to the Sabbath being a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So Old Testament things are types and shadows. They point us to Jesus. Somebody say it again. It's all about Jesus. A little louder. It's all about Jesus. So in Exodus 19, we have this picture pointing us to Jesus and who he is. He says, go consecrate the people today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. At the sound of the trumpet, the Lord will come and meet with his people. Now, here's what one thing I want to draw your attention to. Verse 4. Very first thing that the Lord tells Moses. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. How much credit is given in that statement to the people of God? Let me read it again. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and how I brought you to myself. The only one who is involved in doing anything in that statement is the Lord. So he tells Moses right from the start, this is before the Ten Commandments, this is before we're told, here's all the things that I want you to do to obey me and to honor me and to work in this covenant with me. Before the law, do you know what we see? God's love and grace. See, we have such a tendency to see the law in the Old Testament through the lens of our New Testament faith and through Jesus, which we should. But sometimes that means that when we approach the law, we think about the law as that thing in the Old Testament that we don't need to worry about. And can I just pause for a moment and tell you that the law of God is righteous and good? Yeah, I was a little quiet on that one. But it's going, I'm not with you, Pastor. Come on, the law of God is righteous and good. David, in the book of Psalms, go read the 119th Psalm. It'll take you a while. It's a long one. It's a love letter to the law of God. David says he wakes up in the middle of the night saying, God, I'm so grateful for your statutes and rules. Now, I don't know about you, but when I wake up at 2:00 in the morning, that's not my first instinct. God, I'm just so grateful for your law. Give me more rules. Tell me more things I can't do, please, Jesus. That is not a prayer that I pray in the middle of the night. But David loved the law of God. Can I tell you that the law of God is good? It is holy. It should be taken seriously. It was a gift to God's people. Now, there's more that we'll unpack there. But I want to say this. Before the law came, there was love and grace from Almighty God. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. The Lord continually brought God's people out of slavery in Egypt. 430 years, they were in bondage to Pharaoh, who is a symbol and an image of Satan and the kingdom of hell. And he brought him out, the book of Exodus says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he brought God's people out of slavery. Here is how God is going to work in our lives today. Can I encourage you? He is going to deliver you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. This is how God saves you. This is how God delivers you. This is how God breaks bondage off of you, addiction off of you, sorrow off of your heart, anxiety off of your mind. He comes in with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. God does not have a hand that's not mighty. Somebody say amen. He comes in and he delivers you like he delivered Israel. Every plague, every act of his might was so evident for others to see. God does not sneak you out of sin for no one to hear. He does it with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He says that their deliverance was so dramatic. He says, I bore you on eagle's wings. What's he saying? He's saying, you were delivered with so little effort on your part. It was basically like I put you on the back of an eagle and the eagle just flew you out of slavery, sin, and bondage. This is how good God is. He sends an eagle, his name is Jesus, and you crawl on his back and he does the rest. I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy. He does the rest. He carries you out of your sorrow. He carries you out of your sin. And he, what does he do? What does he do? Where does he bring you? Does he bring you to church? He says, I brought you to me. I brought you to myself. Here's what we need in our lives, in our community, in our world. We need to be brought to Jesus. We need to be brought to Jesus. We need to be confronted with the reality that without Jesus, we're broken. Without him, we're sinful. Without him, we're selfish. Without him, we will hurt not only our enemies. Not only will we hate our enemies, which Jesus tells us not to do. Not only will we come against those who come against us, but we will hurt those that we love. Apart from Jesus, we are a mess going somewhere to happen. But with Jesus, come on, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So all throughout Exodus, Moses is this picture for us of someone that God used. Moses was not perfect. Moses was messy. Moses made mistakes, and yet God used him in profound ways. How many of you are grateful God uses messy people? He uses messy people. And Moses is this picture of this encouragement that God can continue to use broken people. But there are times when Moses is actually a picture of Jesus. So there's times where you study and you read Moses and we're to relate to Moses. And there are times when Moses is actually a picture of Jesus. There's another mountain that Jesus appeared upon to his disciples. The Mount of Transfiguration, you remember that? Who showed up on that mountain before Peter and John? Elijah and Moses. And Peter was so overwhelmed, he's like, let me build a tent. I don't know what to do. Let me build something, because that's what I do. So the Lord tells Moses, go down, tell the people, consecrate themselves today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments, be ready for the third day. Tell no one to come up the mountain or to touch the mountain, or they shall be put to death. Verse 14. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. Let me read that again. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. Here is Moses as a type of Christ. He comes down from the mountain. Who consecrated the people of Israel? Moses. Moses. Now, I don't know how this looked practically speaking. Here's what I picture when I read this. I picture Moses coming down from the mountain with a sponge and with a bottle of Dove body wash. And he just goes tent to tent. Here you go. Sponge for you, body wash for you. Oh, you're going to need a bigger sponge. Okay, here you go. You need some extra consecration. Moses comes down from the mountain and Moses consecrates the people. The people wash their clothes. They do their own laundry, okay? But Moses consecrates the people. Why is Moses a picture of Jesus? Because you cannot consecrate yourself. Only Jesus can. God is the one who sent Jesus down to this earth, and he comes into your life and mine, and he cleanses us and makes us holy in the presence of the Lord. This is how, ladies and gentlemen, this is how you get saved. This is how you become born again. This is what it means to be adopted into the family of God. How do you become a Christian? You were to say, Pastor Tim, how do you become a Christian? Okay, here we go. You got to go to church for at least 10 years. You can't miss a Sunday. You have to volunteer somewhere. You have to show up to the church cleaning day. Thanks for coming yesterday. Those of you who are here, you're all going to heaven. You have to give a whole lot of money to the church. You have to serve others. Yeah, you better keep all the commandments. Why is nobody taking notes? I'm telling you how to get to heaven. And you're all looking at me like, yeah, old news. Now, how do you get saved? It is not through you doing a single thing. You contribute nothing to your salvation. Here's how you get saved. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. And he comes down and he cleanses you and washes you and makes you whole. And everything else that we do, what we're going to get into next week, the obeying the commandments, everything that we do that is us orienting our lives around trying to live a holy life and trying to live morally upright and trying to do good and be good, all of those things is like washing our clothes. We're doing those things because it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. It's a testimony to those around us that we belong to the Lord. There's so many reasons why we should live a holy life. But that's washing our clothes. That's not consecrating our souls. Jesus is the only one who can consecrate your soul. And before the commandments are ever given, here's what the Lord does. He shows up and he cleanses his people. He washes you. How do we get washed today in the precious blood of the Lamb? It's by his blood upon our hearts that we are forgiven, redeemed, and set free. Here we are. The Lord is telling Moses, get ready, get ready, get ready. God is coming to the mountain. I have an urgency in my heart today, and I want to ask you, are you ready for the return of the Lord? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And you can either choose to place your faith in him now and be blessed with the gift of eternal life. Or I say this with love in my heart, Or if you do not, you will be judged by Christ and separated from the Lord for all of eternity. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Jesus is coming to take us home. Would you stand to your feet and let me pray over us this morning? Lord, we're grateful that you came down in the form of your Son, Jesus. You came down from heaven. And rather than seeing to it that we who are filled with sin and rebellion and selfishness, rather than seeing to it that we get what we deserve, which is the wages of sin is death, you came within the parameters of the mountain and you died bearing our sin. You took our sin and you received the punishment that we deserved so that all who would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. So Jesus, I thank you for consecrating us. I thank you for saving us. I thank you that we can't earn our salvation. I thank you, Jesus, that it's a free, loving gift from heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for the help of your Holy Spirit, that you are working in us, endeavoring to tune our hearts to the ways of heaven so that we may live for you. God, I pray for anyone in this room who's never called upon your name, who's never confessed their sins, and ask Jesus to wash them clean. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would call upon your name and be adopted into your family. Jesus, I thank you that you are going to continue to do your work of saving us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Lord, we welcome you to do it again at every moment in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.